Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. From Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, bleed from things taken. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joe of Israel, also of the Commonwealth of Israel. Today, we are dealing with the creation. Yeah. I know we been dealing with it on the Sabbath and, you know, about, well, weekly, actually. But, man, it's just so much information. I think, you know, we could just roll. And, you know, whatever the Lord put on our hearts to deal with throughout the week, but definitely we can deal with this creation, just you know, general, because it is what it is. It's so big. It's so vast and huge. And the Lord is merciful in allowing us to see these things and so that our faith increase. You know, not that, you know, he's showing us, you know, what it is that we own and all this, you know, and planet and all that, but actually it increased our faith because science have claimed that these things are all accidents. And the God of Israel is showing that that is an impossibility because consciousness is not an accident. Right and wrong is not an accident. 1 + 1 = 2. That is right. That means that 1 + 1 = 3 would be wrong. That's consciousness. So that's an absolute lie. The absolute truth is 1 + 1 = 2. That's the truth. So God created numbers to testify that there's a truth and there's consciousness and there's right and wrong. If there's right and wrong, then somebody gave us consciousness. That means consciousness has to be in the beginning in order for it to be a right and wrong. Well, we are in the third day. We are in the third day, and we are dealing with the earth. We open up the Sabbath on the earth, dealing with the earth and how the Lord called the earth out the water, how he brought his cloud over the water, and then he called the earth to come up. That's where we left off at. So we're going to go back there, and we're going to start there, you know, where he called the earth out of the water, right? So let's do this. Let's approach the Father, right? And then we're going to get into the scriptures. Amen? So brothers and sisters, if you can, brothers, if you can uncover your heads, and sisters, if you can cover your heads, and we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray. For your mercies endure forever. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are in the creation. We're dealing with these things in the creation, you know. And these things are not supposed to, well, the more I investigate this, is the more I realize how genuinely simple we think God is. And how so light that we take him, you know, that like he's, you know, we got more gravity than him. No. This creation is both physical and spiritual. And Jesus warned us about that. He warned us about that, you see, and he told us that. Right, so before we even get started, let's look at him say that. So this is why we're here in Genesis, because before you even get to the spiritual, you have to understand the physical. Without knowledge of the physical, you will never understand the spiritual. Amen. So let's take this into John. St. John chapter 3. Amen. St. John chapter 3 and let's pick it up at verse 12. And it says this, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So, you know, for the world, spiritual things is like supernatural. They rather believe a fictional movie than a Bible. Most people in the world would rather go to a theater and get scared out of their mind on something that's fictional and they believe by a man or a woman. Something that has nothing to do with reality, you know. But then when it comes to the Word of God, you know, we want to look at the Word of God and call that a joke, but then we'll go to the theater and watch a stupid film and say, oh, wow, that was interesting. Well, we're not that people. We understand that you must understand that which is natural before you understand that which is physical. So, spiritual. So we there. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the physical first. So now, let's pick this up back in Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to pick it up at 1. I'm going to skip around a little bit because I don't want to keep going back and starting all over because this is a long process, right? So we're just going to do a quick summary and then we're going to move right on. Amen? So I'm going to pick this up in Genesis chapter 1:1 and show where the water actually came from, right? That he actually had caused the earth to come out of, right? So in the beginning, let's pick this up in Genesis chapter 1:1, and it says this, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So it was water already here. So that lets me know the earth is already here under the water, right? So it's up under the water, like it is now. It's up under the water. You got waters above the cosmos. And I'm going to say that and without going all the way into detail, but anybody understand the cosmos, you got water above the cosmos. And the earth is still under it, believe it or not. But, yeah, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, right? So now let's skip down to verse 9, and it says this, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, And he gathered together the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb, the herb yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, and whose seed is in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. And God brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and even in the morning was the third day. Now, not just to, you know, just to be blowing past these things, but we're reading these things so that we can remind everybody that these are actual time windows. So this is the third day. All right. Now, the earth appears on the third day. The earth appears out of water on the third day. The earth is in water on the third day. So now he calls it out of the water. All right. So now let's go back to the top and let's pick it up there. He said, and let the waters, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. So everybody, you know, like say, well, where did all that water go? Well, you got witnesses that the earth was covered in water, so you could stop that. You know, the Grand Canyon is a giant record book of water and millions of years of being underwater. You know, and then the Lord allowed it to dry. You know, allowed it, the water to run out the Grand Canyon. Where did the water go? That's the next thing. Where did all that water go that was running through the Grand Canyon? We all got our speculations, but once again, where did it go, right? So that's that thing. Yeah, so that's that thing. Amen. He said, so let the dry land, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and then the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters, and he called seas. And God saw that it was good. So now this is where we're going to stop at. We want to see the earth coming out of the water. That's what we want to look at. We want to look at that. We want to see the earth coming out the water. Also, remember that man is created from the earth. So his beginnings is the exact same way. What do you mean? On the sixth day, exactly 3 days later, God called water to come upon the earth, and he brought earth out of the earth, or man. Right? And ever since then, we've been doing it the exact way God did it. Why? Because what happens with the woman when she's about to get ready to give birth to a child? Her water break. So the idea and a premise of water preceding, ushering life, is already a witness within ourselves that we experience this every day, that there's a God, you see. So this is that thing. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Genesis chapter 6 and 11. Genesis chapter 6 and 11. No, Genesis chapter 7 and 6. Genesis chapter 7 and 6. And no, I'm not going to get all of it because I read this last week. He is about to get ready to bring a flood on the earth. Amen. So he's about to get ready to bring a flood on the earth. So he's getting everybody inside the ark, who's that's Noah and his three sons and their wives. And, of course, the beasts and the fowls and the creepy things. All those things ended up in the ark that he chose to live. And this is that conversation, but look at what happened, because if he brought a flood on the earth, then where did all the water come from? Because, you know, the story is that it rained, right? That rain came down and it flooded the earth and such. If that was rain that came down and flooded the earth, then that cloud must have been one giant cloud. You know, because people would have been able to grab a bolt or something like that, but I'm not getting that. In fact, let's look at this. Let's go into Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And verse 6. And it says this, and Noah was 600 years old when the floods were of water was upon the earth. So here it is. So now that's another thing that's 600. Makes sense, right? Okay. Man was created on the sixth day. Everything is in sequence. The universe is in line as we see it. Numbers can't lie. And it says this, and Noah went in and his son and his son's wives with him into the ark because the waters of the flood of the clean beasts and of the beasts are not clean, of the fowls and of every creep and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, they went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, and male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the same time were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. So now you see where the water came from. Because look, the windows of heaven really didn't start raining until after the deep was open. So the water came from the ground. The water came out the ground. So it was no way man was going to survive this. Water came out the ground. It just flooded the earth. Because remember now, water, he caused the water to recede from the earth. You say, or sway, you know, or sway from the earth. So recede or go back to where, you know, go into a place and be held, you know. Well, here we see where it went. The water went into the earth. Where in the earth? That's the next question. Where did all that water go when he called the earth out? You know, when he called the earth out, that meant that water had to run off the earth into these things, into the deep. That's what he called it, the fountains of the great deep. So that's where the water went, into the great deep. I don't know where that is. Obvious a place past where we know. Obvious a place past where we've been as a man, as mankind. Obviously, this deep we have not seen. Man don't have instruments to go there. And it's in the earth. It's not in the ocean. You see, so this is that thing. He said the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. So once the waters came rushing in, then he sent the rain. And, you know, rain can come down hard, bro. I mean, rain can just flood a city in less than an hour. We can have downpours that have a raging flood of water running down the middle of the street. So for him to be in this mindset talking about wiping out the whole planet, it wouldn't have took nothing. It wouldn't have took nothing for him to cause rain to run down from heaven and flood everything. You see, so the water ran down from heaven, out of heaven. This is what the rain did. If you was on mountains, right? If you was on mountains, if you was going up hills and trying to get away from the water as it was rising, the rain beat you down. The water that was coming from heaven beat you down. You did not escape. We did not escape this. We did not escape that. So it's true. Only Noah and his eight children survived this. And the way the Lord constructed the ark, it wasn't no way that they could sit on top of it. You know, God knows it wasn't no handles. It wasn't none of that, you know. The boat was being rocked. You got waves coming over the boat. So it wasn't no way you could hold on to the boat. You know, then the boat was in the water for like X amount of, oh, my God, for like about 6 months. Well, if you survived it, But nobody did. But if you did, you starved because it wasn't on earth, and he sure as hell wasn't sending you no fish. And if you tried to jump in the water to get fish, then he would have sent a shark to get you or a whale, you see, or whatever, a jellyfish to sting you and kill you, anything, you know, to complete his commandments, you see. So this is that thing. So the waters went into the earth. When the earth came up out of the waters rescended and went into the core of the planet. Let's look at this a little further. It's going to Psalm 78 and 13. Psalm 78 and 13. Psalm 78 and 13. And this is Moses in the wilderness, right, with our fathers, and he's about to give them drink. Now, we're talking about, what, a million people, right? Not, you know, a few thousand people you had. Okay. Worst case scenario, 100,000, right? Okay, 100,000 people is still a lot, and that's a lot to provide for, and a lot of food, a lot of water you're going to need, right? So the Lord had Moses to do this. 15, Psalm 78 and 15. He cleaved a rock in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depth. See that? So the fountains of the deep are covered by mountains. So the fountains of the deep are covered by mountains, and the waters are within the mountains. You know, but we get it here. We say we, you know, out of the great rock. Well, isn't a mountain a great rock? You know, I always tend to believe in some kind of boulder or something, you know, that God, you know, used, like a giant slab or something like that. But no, it was actually a mountain. It was actually a mountain, a rock. You know, that's what the earth is. It's a rock. So He caused the water to come forth of the rock because that's where he put the water, in the earth, which is a rock. Exactly. Then it said this, and he cleaved the rock in the wilderness, gave them drink out of great depths. And he brought streams also out of the rock and caused rivers to run down like, and called water to run down like rivers. So it was a mountain because he said, and it caused waters to run down like rivers. What do you mean? Moses created a waterfall? Yeah, that's what it was. It was a waterfall. That's the great rock. Moses hit the rock or mountain and created a waterfall. And it ran through the middle of wherever they were, and it sustained the people, kept them alive until this day. You see, if it wasn't for that, then we wouldn't be here having this conversation. All praises to the Most High God on every reason, every level. Why? Because we shouldn't be here. You know, not after what our fathers did. Here in the wilderness, in the land, in this world, right? Even now, the 21st century, you know. And it says this. It says, and skip down to verse 20. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he also give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? And the people was like, man, he just gave you water. What do you mean? Can he give us food? You know, just like God was getting angry with our conversation, like we're just too ungrateful. But then again, a woman that's never been taught how to appreciate anything is going to be just that, unappreciative. Genesis 3 and 16, that's up under conception. Appreciative. He said, in sorrow, in sorrow of that conception, conception also bring forth appreciation. So he's telling us we would never truly appreciate his work because it's not in us, because we all came from women, and that's a sin that's in them. We appreciate them, but not like we should. Think about it. You know, like we can sit up and say, yeah, I appreciate God. You can have all that super religious, Christian, Islamic nonsense you think. Truth be told, you're nowhere near your faith supposed to be. We are nowhere near our faith supposed to be. If it was, we'd be invisible. We'd be able to disappear. That's how our faith's supposed to be. We're supposed to be talking to the land and trees growing out of it. That's how our faith's supposed to be. Nothing less. Right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Psalms 105. Psalms 105. And we're going to pick one verse. 105 and verse 41. 105 and 41. He said this. He said, well, I'm picking up at 40. He said, the people asked and he brought quails, what they're going to meet, right? And, of course, the bread was manna, you know, after they, you know, he said, yeah, I could do that too. You got water? You think I got, you know, yeah, I could do all these things. Anyway, the people asked and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. There it is. And then he said this, and he opened the rock and waters gushed out. They ran into the dry places like a river. So this water came down the mountain flowing like a river. And this water, now you got to put, you know, this water here, if God found it and if God gave it to you, it's going to be the best, cleanest, purest water you'll ever be tasting. You'll never taste water this clean and so rich and full of minerals and things like that, right? This is that thing that God had done. And we remember now, this is the water of life. These are the, hold on, because remember now, let's go into Revelations. Because I'm going to read this again, just keep you in mind what we were drinking. 41, and he opened a rock, waters gushed out, and they ran into a dry place like a river, all right? So, Revelations chapter 22, and 17, and it says this, it says, and the spirit of the bride say, come and let us drink. He said, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, whosoever will, and let him take of the water of life freely. I can only assume that we were drinking the purest water ever. So full of nutrients, so full of minerals. I mean, it had to heal us from head to toe. Our hair had to have been so rich and thick, and you know, those of us that can grow it, our nails had to have been super strong. Our bones had to have been strong. Our skin had to have been like just olive, you know, oil olive. I mean, seriously, this water is the water of life. So I'm only going to assume that this is the water that came out of the mountain, because this is the same water that he brought his spirit upon in the beginning. And yes, this is the same water that we've been pissing in and taking dumps in and throwing garbage in. Yeah, the seas. Y'all know them as oceans. I don't know them as oceans. Ocean is a pagan deity like Poseidon, right? Ocean and Poseidon are family members, so to say. But when you use the term seas, then you're referring to what it is. Water is the ocean. Well, that big vast water that's out there is called seas. You see, that's that thing. So he said, let us drink of the water of life freely. So now, this water that rescended off the earth, remember now he said, let the dry land appear. This water was already on the planet on the first day. This here, which is in Revelation chapter 17, he called this water to go into the rocks. Then in Exodus, when Moses brought forth the water, he brought this back. I can't see him bringing anything less but the best, because he told us we did nothing but drink the best. In fact, let's look at that. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. This is why I can safely say that all these things is right in line with each other. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 13. He said, he made him ride on the high places of the earth. He made him eat the increase of the fields. He made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of flinty rock. See, I told you our skin was looking like olives. Why? Because it's oil in the rocks. What only makes sense? Why? Because we mining oil. Do you got a car? You got a boat? Got an airplane? Do you catch a bus? Whatever your oil, it's in a rock. It's in the earth. God showed us that. It's already there, you see. This is how he sustained Abraham's sons, Opec, up under Keturah, you see, and Hagar. They are sustained by this. And it says this, and he says, butter of kine, milk of sheep, fat of lambs, rams and breed of Bashan, goats and fats of kidneys, thou drinkest the pure blood of the grapes. See, we were drinking the water, man. We were drinking that water. We were drinking the pure water. Pure water. I don't even know how we could have got around that, man. I don't know how we could have ever got around the idea that we was, what was Egypt to us, and we drinking that pissy water, and here God is bringing water from the center of the creation. But, you know, hey, as people and that don't know, and if there's people that don't have any idea of our beginnings or what it is that God is doing, we are not going to appreciate it. Children don't know what it takes for you to go to work and pay the bills. All they do is reap the benefits. All they do is turn on lights, turn on a video, turn on the internet, pick up a phone, do whatever, right? But they don't understand the benefits until they're in that place. Same thing with us. They don't appreciate it until they have to do it themselves. This is the same way. So I can see why he had mercy on us, because it's just the way of man. You know, he said we was going to have a problem with conception. We were not going to be able to appreciate fully the things that he's doing for us. And I can say that safely. I know I don't appreciate him. I know I don't. I can be thankful. And I am appreciative, but I don't appreciate him, not the way he desired. I'm not even close, and I can say that safely. So he said, and the waters gushed out, right? Let's go into Psalms 33 and 9. Psalms 33 and 9. Because we calling the earth out the water. So where did the water go? So you got to have a place for it to go. That's the truth. Because, see, most people sit up there and they say, well, yeah, whatever, man. Where did all that water go? If he calls the earth to come out the water, then what the water do? Disappear? Ha, 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 ha. Well, we're trying to give you, you know, understanding that if someone have that opinion, then we got to answer God. That the water went into the rock, into the earth. And that's where it went, and that's where it was until he called it out. Psalms 33 and verse 9. Psalms 33 and verse 9. He said, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth counsel of the heathens to nothing. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Whoops, I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. Yep, I should be higher. So sorry. What did I say? 33 and verse 3. That's what I'm supposed to start at, 33 and 3. It says, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. So, yeah, you know, you're supposed to jam unto the Lord. You know, you got to jam. Choir is supposed to do their thing, you know. It's a healing in that, you know, for some of us. Some of us need the word. Some of us need the music. Some of us need both. It's healing in that. It says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the seas together as a heap, and layeth up the depth in storehouses. That's where the water went. It went into the earth. He called them storehouses. He kept it. That's where they were in store, you know, for the days of Noah. They were brought forth. He said the fountains of the deep was broken. But he said, but they're in storehouses right now. That's why we can go around the earth and dig and you're running the water, you know, in some places. But these here, this place that he called storehouses, we haven't seen that, because there are some places in this planet we just haven't dealt. We haven't drilled. We haven't went that far down, you know, and things like that. We only touch the surface of these things, right? So this is that. So the waters, he said, he gathered the waters of the seas together as a heap, and he layeth up a depth in storehouses. Now, those of us that understand, that probably watched the science channels, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I used to watch Jack Cousteau and Animal Kingdom and stuff like that, you know, Sunday. I used to watch that, and they search things out. They search things out. They had instruments, submarines and stuff like that, to go down into the middle of the ocean, because we couldn't go. We didn't have the body pressure. You know, if we went, our brains would blow up. Our bodies would be crushed because of the gravity in the bottom, in the center of the earth. You know, the gravity force of the earth is so great. The pressure there is so great, it will crush us. It will crush us. Yet he have beings and beasts and things down there that's able to sustain themselves. They can't exist up here, and we can't exist down there. And we only seen bits and pieces of it, you know. California is sitting on the top of a big mountain. And if you went out maybe about 20 miles from the shore, it just dropped. It drops and it drops and it drops. In fact, you could put the entire Grand Canyon in the cavern off of the shore of Los Angeles, 20 miles into the sea off of the shore of Los Angeles. You could put the entire Grand Canyon in that cavern. That's how deep the earth is. So the water is there. The water is there and under there, right? So if the water is under that place, then, you know, the water is also in the Grand Canyon. It's in the rocks. But we just got to, we don't know where it is. I mean, you know, God got to lead you like he led Moses, right? So if Moses was here and we were in the Grand Canyon, Moses would have led, the Lord would have led Moses to a spot in the Grand Canyon, and he would have hit that rock, and the water would have came out of the Grand Canyon and filtered the Grand Canyon. Just like that. Simple as that. It's just that simple, just that plain, right? This is the thing that our God do. He is just wonderful. And I don't think, you know, we really give him enough credit, man. We don't study him enough. We don't research him enough. We don't take the time to go inside on him enough. We take him for granted. We wake up every day and we got our food, you know, and if our meal isn't hot or isn't prepared right or anything like that, we want to act, you know, like a fool, right, if our order is messed up and things like that. But if you're in ICU and you're on a, you know, what you call them things, not a ventilator, but an IV, that they're intravenously feeding people, then all of a sudden, all those little bitty things don't matter anymore. You know, your food ain't on time, and it's not prepared right, and all those things go right out the window. All of a sudden, appreciation sets in. Sometimes it takes things like that for us to wake up, but appreciation sets in. This is that thing. Amen. So, Job chapter 28, Job 28 and verse 22, Job 28 and 22. Amen. So, this is what it says. It says, destruction and death say we have heard. Oh, man. Listen at this. I love the scripture. I use this scripture in my The Dead Where Are They precepts. But I like to read this here because death got a job and destruction got a job, you know, because it takes both of these to destroy an immortal, which is us. Destruction and death, they're not the same. You got destruction is one, and then you got death is another. So destruction destroyed the body, and death shut it down. It takes these two to destroy an immortal, which would be us. It says, destruction and death say, we have heard of the fame thereof with our ears. So destruction and death got ears and it could talk. Makes sense to me. God understandeth the way thereof and knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the end of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight of the wind, right? To make weight for the wind and weigh up the water by measure. So he know how many gallons he got in the center of the planet. You know, he know how many gallons on the earth. You know how many raindrops hit the planet. Is it important to him? Yeah. Is it important to you? No. Because it ain't going to benefit you to know every raindrop and what is it doing. But it'll benefit him because he got a purpose and a place for it. So, yes, those are need-to-knows for him. That's his job, to make sure every raindrop is accounted for, every last one, because all of them got a job, every last one. He said, he made a decree for the rain and a way for lightning and thunder. So then did he see it and declared it and prepared it? Yea, he searched it out. And he said, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, to depart from evil is understanding. So he said this. He said, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for lightning and thunder, he made a decree for it. So rain, if it wasn't a law for the rain, the water would cover the earth again. So he made a decree for the rain. He made a decree for it. And, he made a decree for it. He had to make a decree because he had to set the law for the waters. He had to set a law for the waters that the waters don't cover the earth anymore. Anymore, right? So he said this. So he said he weighed up the water by measure, right? So he got that, right? Let's go into Job chapter, what am I, 37 and 14. Because he said he know, he weigh up the waters by measure, right? So, let's look at this. Job chapter 37 and verse 14. 37 and 14. Oh, stop it. 37 and verse 14. And it says this, hearken unto this, O Job, and stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Doest thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Doest thou know the balancings of the clouds and the wondrous works of him and perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm and quiet the earth with a south wind. So he said he got balances in the clouds, right? So he got the water weight on the planet, and then he got the measures of the water in heaven, in a firmament, right? So if he was to flood, he set a decree, because if he did not, it would just rain and rain and rain and rain, and water would cover the earth all over again. So he had to get the clouds a law to rain when he say so. Or if he allow it so that a righteous man can declare rain or no. You know, like Elijah did. He calls it not to rain for 3.5 years. And the righteous brothers are going to do the exact same thing. They're going to do that in Revelation chapter 11. That's going for 3.5 years, it's not going to rain. It's going to be a drought. You know, so this is that thing. So he's telling us that he got a cloud that he watches the weight of the clouds in heaven so that he can make sure that everything is in place. So he got a weight for the clouds, you see. That's the God of Israel, right? Job chapter 38, and verse 8, and it says this. It says, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness the swallowing for it, and break up in the decree place, and set bars and doors. See, the clouds would just rain if he didn't give it doors and set bounds by it. He said, hitherto shall thou come, but go no further. Here stay thy proud ways and be stayed. So he's telling us that he gave, well, let me read this again. Verse 8. Who hath shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? See, this is the same premise. What do you mean? A woman, when she is 9 months pregnant, she have a water breakage, and the child is about to come forth. What do you mean? The earth is coming. The earth is coming out of the water, which is a man or a child, right? Same premise when he created man from the water, or from the dew of the earth, so to say. And it says this, he said, and hitherto, he said, or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? So here's the thing. Remember now, he said that in the Psalms that the waters have a storehouse, or the seas have a storehouse. He have a place for water that he referred to as stores. Storage, so to say. And verse 11, and it says, and said, hitherto shall thou come, but go no further. Here shall thy proud waves be stayed. What do you mean? Well, anybody that ever been on a ship, understand what proud ways are because they know their life is in danger. It's something that we don't really deal with in the media, and that is how many ships at the bottom of the ocean. Freighters crashed, you know, with cars and material and people and stuff like that. Livestock, all that stuff that you see out there is waiting to get in the shores. Well, somebody didn't make it. You know, just, you know, that's traffic, you know. And just like any other kind of traffic, you know, you have accidents, you know, and it's a lot of boats at the bottom of the sea, you know, cargo ships. You know, you got a lot of merchantmen or marinas, marina men that are dead, you know, or some that's been washed off boats into the ocean, you know, stuff like that are gone, you know, because that's what it is, right? So he said, and he called, he said, and proud waves, man, what do you mean? Oh, look. It's a wave, the tallest registered wave, and I like to say this, I like to bring this to everybody's mind. The highest registered wave ever is 100 feet taller than the Empire State Building. Wrap your mind around that. Okay? The tallest wave ever is taller than the Empire State Building. Someone was saying that it's a point in Africa, you know, where the earthquakes are, and there's earthquakes and things like that going on over there. But if that part of Africa slid off into the ocean, it would send a tidal wave that would wipe out the entire East Coast and all of Florida. It'll wipe out the entire East Coast. It'll be millions upon millions of people that would no longer be here. And probably wouldn't find them. If they wouldn't be in their houses, if they wouldn't be in their cars, or, you know, if they were just in the street, or if they were just running or biking or whatever, then they probably lost forever. You know, I've watched tsunamis come in, you know, in Asia, and people were just driving, and all of a sudden this big wall of water just was coming, and they had no idea. They was just going straight up the street, and it wiped them out. Well, this is the same conversation that that's over, that man is watching. It's concerning the states. We're watching the coastline of Africa to make sure that there isn't a landslide there that will cause a super tsunami that will cover the entire planet. Well, not the entire planet, but the whole eastern seaboard of the United States. And it'll only be poetic justice, you know. I mean, if you think about all the lives that was lost, that was brought from there, and you think that he would allow that to fall into the water to wipe out all those that were there. It's just that it's so many camps on the East Coast. I know that the casualty will be high among the Israelites. I know it would be, you know, because not all of us is going to leave. Not all of us is like that, you know. Some of us get the signs and don't leave. Or else, how is it that some of us are going to still be here and during the Great Tribulation period? Those are conscious decisions. Maybe we just didn't have the information to leave, huh? Maybe just that. But maybe we're waiting on the rapture, right? Okay, you'd be waiting on that one. But no, we just didn't have the knowledge to leave. We did not have the knowledge to leave. So it says this, has thou commanded the morning since thy day? This is verse 12, 38 and 12. Has thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to bring forth to know his place, that thou may take hold of the end of the earth, that wicked man might be shaken out of it. See, he take away to wipe out the wicked. You know, some of us, you know, watch those super tsunamis that took place over in Asia, certain parts of Asia where the tsunamis hit. A lot of those places, child sex trafficking is legal, you know. So you got a lot of men and women that goes there for that purpose, because they know children can be used, right? You know, for whatever reason. Now you can go to Afghanistan and buy children for $500, right? Go buy your child. And for some of us, you know, really want a child, go and raise them up as your own, you know, right? Be a part of the family. But then there are some of us that would abuse that person because, well, we bought it. And also, some of us will use those children as amusement, so to say, games, like serious games, you know, that they would be running for their lives. You know, I mean, you bought them, you own them, you could do whatever you want. And there's nothing that the people you bought them, they're not expecting to see them again because, you know, they already made up their mind, we're never going to see them again. So whatever happened to that person, they can only hope that this child end up in the right hands. That's it. Well, this is that conversation. So he says this. He says, so he's shaking the waters out of, you know, shaking the wicked out of earth by washing them off the planet like he did in the days of Noah, right? But then he called the earth to come back up out of the days of Noah, and the waters went back into the storehouses. In fact, let's go look at that. Go back to Genesis chapter 7, chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. And it said this, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was in him in the earth, in the ark. And God made the winds to pass over the earth and the water assuage. So it went back into the storehouses, back into the earth, back into the rocks, right? It says, and the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven were restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. After the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Now, the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountain of Ararat. So, the waters floated the ark to the top of a mountain, which now we have a witness that is there, you know, wood, art, stuff like that. Interesting, because if we could find it, you could find that God sealed that thing. Yeah, he sealed it, right? Noah built it, he sealed it. So the waters were so high, it covered all the mountains, right? That include Mount Everest, the tallest mountain that we know of, right? It covered that, just like it's covering a mountain that's California off of Los Angeles. That's a giant mountain. And if you removed all that water, which will happen according to Revelation chapter 21, all that's going to disappear, and all everything that's down there is going to surface. All our trash, all of this, that, and the other. So man got a little work to do. Well, you got all eternity. You're not going to die anymore. So I guess cleaning up the ocean will only make sense, right? Right. So let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job 38 and 16. Job 38 and 16. I say this constantly, man. I mean, aside from Noah, aside from Moses, I can't think of anyone else that he really talked to about the creation other than Job and Solomon. But Solomon don't go into the creation like that. He let you know that he know it. He's aware of it. And also David let you know that he's aware of it. But you don't hear them going into detail like this. And you don't hear them going into detail concerning these things, you know. But you know that they know because they bring them up. You hear it here and there in their conversations that they knew about it. They just, it wasn't they, that wasn't their ministry, so to say, right? It wasn't their ministry. They were just, they was astute, right? So Job chapter 38 and verse 16. And he says this, has thou entered into the springs of the sea? Well, let me wrap my mind around that. So the earth got springs, right? We see springs in woods and forests and stuff like that and running down mountains. And all those sort of things, right? Have we ever seen a sea with a spring in it? You know. What kind of tripped me out with that was Nori. Nora, what is that? That Disney flick. Pixar. It was about this fish that Dora something. She couldn't remember, but it was trying to find a way back. And he was looking for her, and he jumped in his jet stream. And that brought this to my mind, how the fish use the streams of the seas and flow through it. Now, we have technology and instruments that can see those things, right? Where was he, so this is why we can write about these things and show them in Disney and movies and stuff like that, or when we deal with nature and things like that, we can bring these things up. But things that in the days of Noah, who taught him? And where did they see it? And don't say it was an alien. You better not pull up no spacesuits and all that type of stuff, man. That's an illusion and a lie from all these people that don't want to believe in God, you know. Jesus didn't need a spacesuit. God don't need a spacesuit to be around his people. anything to keep you from thinking there's a God, right? Has thou entered into the springs of the sea? Has thou walked in the search of the depths? Well, it only makes sense to me. Why? Because Jesus walked on top of the water, right? So it only makes sense to me that God walked in it, under it, around it. I wouldn't be surprised if Adam walked on water. I mean, he didn't have no reason for death. He didn't think death. He didn't have death in his head. So when God said, come on, if God was standing on the water and he told Adam to come out there, Adam didn't have death on him. He wasn't created yet. So what would it take for him to walk out there? Nothing. That's faith beyond our comprehension. So how can we even judge Adam, because we don't have a sense to judge Adam? We can't judge Adam. All we know is what Adam done, but we can't judge him. We don't have a sense to judge Adam. We don't have a mind to judge Adam. It's like us trying to judge God. Forget about it. You're not going to be able to do it. We're not going to be able to do it. It's just not in us to do it, right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job chapter 9 and verse 8. Job chapter 9 and verse 8. Like I said, man, reading the Bible, you find out that, who God talked to. When he dealt with them with certain things, like Paul said it. He said, it's a lot of things I want to deal with you with, but your ears are dull of hearing. So I can't talk to you or teach you about these things if you don't know about them. Therefore, all the prophets wasn't privy to certain information. It was whatever information that they were given. Like, for instance, what would it have prophet Ezra and Nehemiah about this when they were building the temple? No, Ezra and Nehemiah's job was, I'm not saying that they wasn't aware of this, but you don't hear them teaching this. What you do hear them teaching is the law, and they getting the people together so they can start doing the work in the temple. That's what you see. That's what's relevant. So he give all of us a measure, that we all see things apart. Not everybody can deal with this creation and whatnot. I'm okay with that. Prior to have other people thinking anything otherwise, that brother's still dealing with that creation thing. Why not? It's a beautiful story. Beautiful. It's a beautiful story, right? It's a beautiful story from God. I think we should all listen, right? So has thou entered to the depths of the sea? Has thou walked in the bottom of the ocean? Yeah. God did. If he walked on top of it, I'm almost sure he created it. I'm sure he even walked on the bottom of the ocean, seeing all the shit, all his fishes and all of that. They come up, you know, even the whales jump out the water and say, here I am, God. The fish jump out the water and say, here I am, God. The dolphins definitely jump up out the water and say, here I am, God. So for him to go to the waters and walk in the bottom of the oceans and things like that, that's where you get those things like Poseidon and things like that, because the God of Israel, they got that from him. They got that from him. Poseidon, the image of Poseidon and the mind of Poseidon and his doctrine came from God. So they created an image of their own and attributed to their foolishness after learning the truth. Wow. Matthew's chapter 14:22. Now, Psalms 104. And we have three more after this. Psalms 104. Then we'll go into the next part. This is part one, remember? Okay. And so now we're going to part two, we're going to bring the land up. Okay. But right now we got to get rid of the water. You know what I mean? Why not? This is a story saying that he showed us that he did. So we're actually reading it, right? Okay, good. Psalms 104. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got ahead of myself. Wow. Okay, here we go. All right, Psalms 104 and verse 104 and 1. And just listen at this conversation, because he's going to tell you how he did it. Right? He's going. If you listen at it, you can see how he brought the earth out of the water. If you listen at the conversation, and, you know, if you take the blinders off and not looking at it for face value, but looking at it for what he's doing, then you can see this conversation in the Grand Canyon. Okay. 104 and verse 1. Psalms 104 and verse 1. And it says this: bless the Lord, O my soul, O my Lord, my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who cover thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh his clouds as a chariot and walketh upon the wings of the wind. So his heaven, so in heaven, of course, it's Waterbury up there. So not going back to that conversation, but there it is. It says, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. We're not going back to that conversation, but there it is. It says, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be moved forever. So it makes sense, because he covered the earth with living waters. That's eternal. So that's self-explanatory, right? Where did he get the water from? Heaven. Because he said he created heaven and earth. So he got it from heaven. He said, at thy rebuke, it says, who laid the foundation of the earth, he laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be moved forever, who covereth it with the deep as a garment. Water stood above the mountains. This is Genesis chapter 1. This is Genesis chapter 1, day 1 and 2 and 3. They go, verses 3 is the firmament. Verses 1 and 2 is verses 1 and 2, Genesis 1 and 2. And then that's day 1. Then day 3 is here. He's showing us how he actually caused the water to come down from the mountains, right? So watch this. At thy rebuke they fled, or swayed, like in the days of Noah, or swayed. At thy rebuke they fled. At thy voice thunder if they hasten away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys and unto the place where thou hast found it for them. See? See? There it is. I'm going to read it again, verse 6. Thou covered it with the deep as a garment. The water stood above the mountains. Grand Canyon is a witness. And it says this, at thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains and go down by the valleys into the place where thou hast found it for them. Thou hast set bounds that they may not pass over, and that they turn not again, to cover the earth. What do you mean they? Waters. So what do you mean? He said bounds. That's why he said let the dry land appear. So he gave the waters commandments that it should not cover the earth anymore. Right? To this degree. And it says this. He said, and he sent his springs into the valleys and which run among the hills. See, so now he got waters on top of the hills and on top of mountains and stuff like that. And he's showing us that he put it there. You know, it's easy for us to say, yeah, well, it rained, it got water up there. Well, it's easier for me to say that when he calls the water to rescind or a sway off the earth, or as he said, as he calls the waters to return from off the earth, he said, or at that rebuke, they fled away. You know, he said, bounds that they don't cover. That was him. This is the same conversation. That's why when he told Noah he was going to flood the earth, the fountains of the deep broke, and he said that was the storehouses where the water was. And Moses said, they ain't the rocks. That was that conversation. And it says this, and thou hast set bounds that they pass over, that it may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth, and sending springs into the valleys, which run among the hills, they give drink to every beast of the field, and wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitations, which sing among the branches, which water the hills from his chambers, and the earth is satisfied with the fruits of his work. He causes grass to grow for cattle, herbs for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Now, here go the other part of the conversation, that he calls the dry land to appear, and then the grass and the trees and all that type of stuff. We ain't there yet, so we're going to stop right there because we're still dealing with this water, getting this water off the planet. We need to get the water off the planet so we can deal with this part, right? Let's go into Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And 20. Jeremiah chapter 5 and 20. And it says this, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it among Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people without understanding, which have eyes and see not and ears and hear not. Fear not ye me, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Oh yeah. Which have placed the sand for the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. The waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. In Chicago, in the 18th century, there was no such thing as Jackson Park or Hyde Park or anything like that. All those things were built. State Street was actually where the lakefront was, and what they did was put earth there and pushed the water back, and they pushed it back and pushed it back. And so the waters by law can't cover the earth, so it had to keep the commandments. And so man created Chicago, from State Street all the way to Lakeshore Drive. All that's man-made. That's all dug up. That's earth pushing the water back. But if you dig, now me working in Chicago and dealing with construction and heavy construction, I watched backhoers dig into the earth and come up with clay. I'm so serious. I'm talking about flat out wet running water clay. So yeah, Chicago is definitely sitting on water. At least that part of it, right? So he said this. He said, so this is something that we do. He said, fear ye not me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sands for a bounds of the sea and by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. So this is that thing, man. You know, when the hurricanes come through and you see the waves beating down and all that, they only can go so far. I mean, the strength of it and all that, you would think that it would, you know, it had the power to, you know, with that kind of power, it would cover all of the East Coast, but the law said it can't. So the waters keep the law of God. You see. This is why it's so important for us to keep the laws of God. Why? Because if we keep the laws of God, then we got power over water. You got power over everything because everything is bound by laws. That's the difference in the movie Matrix. He said it's one that was going to be able to break the rules. No, that's Satan. No, you can't break the rules. You got to be in line with the rules in order to use the rules. If you're keeping the commandments, you're in line with the universe. So you got power over water. You got power over the air because all that's bound by laws. You got power over the beasts of the field, the birds, and all that type of thing because all those things are bound by laws. So there's nothing wrong with keeping a law if you want power over everything. Because that's exactly what you'll be doing. You'll be tapping into the power of everything by keeping the laws of God. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Jeremiah 31 and 33. Jeremiah 31, 33. And it says this. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is not fulfilled. You know, I know people think that this is fulfilled. It's not fulfilled. You know why? Because of 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. See? Because that's exactly what we're doing. We're teaching every man our neighbor. You know, so... And in that hour, we won't be. For they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day and ordinances of the moon and the stars and the light by night, and which divideth the sea and the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. So we can't shut down the sun. We can't stop time. So Israel is going to be a people of God for all eternity. I mean, we can't make this up. It says, 37, thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth can be searched out, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all they have done, saith the Lord. That's mercy. Big time. He's saying, if you could figure this out, I'll never forgive my people. So you can miss that. Well, I mean, we some people too, right? Right. Anyway, Genesis, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 8. Genesis 1 and 8. All right, this is the last verse. And it says this. And God, I'm not reading that. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So now we found out that it went into a store place. That's what he used to flood the earth. Also, these are set by bounds. Once they went back into the storehouses, he set locks on the doors that they don't come back open. Those are the decrees that he set, that the waters don't cover the earth anymore. Those prior waves. Remember now, those waves would have kept anybody that was on Noah's boat, it would have washed them off. They would have just gave up. It was no way there was going to anybody was going to survive that. You could not have survived that scenario. The Lord would have drowned you with the waves. Even if you held on with all your strength, if you had the strength of Samson, you couldn't have held on. He would have just drowned you, or water drowned you. The waves would have just kept coming and coming and coming. You wouldn't have had time to breathe. Or maybe you just would have sent the angel and knocked you off the boat. How about that? That would have been the end of it. You know, nobody would have a reason to know. I mean, only he would know and you would know. Right? Right. And so God said, called the dry land earth and gathered together the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herbs yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and a tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Amen. So, God willing, we live, and so hope we can do this again tomorrow. Be back here tomorrow, same time, 8 o'clock p.m., and we will be doing getting back into this research of the third day, right? Amen. So I hope and pray that the God of Israel edified someone. I didn't see you, bro. I'm so sorry.
Hey, you did good.
I was using this new microphone, so I apologize, man. I did not see you there with your hand up.
You did fine. I'm always glad to see somebody doing the works of old instead of people trying to figure out what the works of old are. It takes time through the instruction. You know, I mean, we weren't built in a day, far as we know. We're still trying to receive parts and parts, you know, to get the whole better understanding of things. So it's a blessing, though, you know, and I know in my heart because, like, the Lord put it on your heart for you to do these things, you know. He won't let you steer away. And even though we are people amongst many, he can separate the wheat from the tares. So we know for the fact of the matter, what was just mentioned, though, about everything that is to come to pass. He said, have I not kept my vineyard? That's going to happen. So I look at what I see, you know, and it's a great thing. I thank God, breath of life, be able to resurrect us every day so that we have a chance one day to be with him. And for the fact that I thank God for you and those that do seek God out wholeheartedly. And I pray one day that we all do. but it does take time. So I just say, as I always say, live and let God, and most importantly, fight the good fight, like he said. So that was a great lesson, brother. Great peace to the family. And with that, I close.
Amen. And be back tomorrow evening, same time, okay?
Yes,
and
sir.
I keep my eyes open for you if you put the question mark up or whatever, you know. I had already started, and I was using this microphone because my other mics were sounding so bad as I was listening to the recordings. So I just, you know, just be here tomorrow, okay, bro?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I make sure that your microphone is open. Apologies.
Hey, grace and peace, brother. No worries. No worries. It was an excellent lesson. I appreciate it.
Amen. And the other thing is that for those of us that's listening online, call in tomorrow. Oh, bro, I think I want to, God willing, we live on Sundays. I want to do an abuse thing, you know.
Okay.
I want to deal with drug abuse, alcohol abuse, spousal abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse. I want to deal with all of that.
I think there has, if I'm saying correctly, sir, I think in the book, I can find it, though, it has something to do with chastisement.
Well, I know this is what, the Spirit is leading me. So, man, if you have anything you want to add to that, like, when we get to that point, you know, what's going on, man, because we're going to be dealing with a lot of issues, man. I mean, we're going to leave the mics open. You know, I really don't open up the mics right now because of, you know, my experiences with people who just want to be heard and don't take this thing serious, you know. So I haven't been opening my mics, but I'm going to open them up because I think this is a little bit more than, I think it's bigger than what people are right at this point. So I think we all need to deal with this.
Excuse me, brother. If you don't mind, like, if you I'm pretty sure I can come up with something to that, and if possibly, you know, we talk about it and you see what you think of what I got up out of the book.
All right, bro, give me a call. We'll see.
I try to call your phone at the 360 number, but if you can, just text me your number.
It's 6570.
6570? Okay.
Yeah. 6570.
That's 360, right?
Yeah, 350.
350. Okay. All right. I got it.
Yeah, don't get my area code over the air, man. Everybody in the whole world will have my number.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And people in Malaysia be like, what that phone number again? What that phone number?
you talking about the enemy would be at hand, but God forbid.
No, it wouldn't be nothing like that. I don't think the listeners are our enemies, man, you know. I'm just saying that, you know, we got people, man, listening from New Zealand, man, Japan, all over Africa, brother, and all over Arabia and Middle East and places like that, man. You got a lot of people. It's not like big groups of people, but you could tell it just pegs, like somebody has logged in on us from that area, you know, and it's got some, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So God is still doing his thing, man. It's just that, like I said, I stopped opening the microphone because I found out that people want to be heard and they really don't believe in God, you know. And I just got fed up with it. But then I can't be a judge, right?
Right.
Yeah. But I can't control what comes near me, though. That's a fact. That's something I definitely would make sure that I keep the brakes on from now on and forever. So, hey, Jude, we're going to close out. Anything you'd like to say before we close up?
Well, all I want to say is that grace and peace to those listening to the lesson. It's Commonwealth of Israel. It's Brother Joe, one of his readers, Brother Keith. You're welcome. Those that are seeking out the Lord, we seek him as well. We seek peace and liberty one day that we can be with our Father. So always keep the Lord first. All praises to the Most Mighty God.
Amen.
And never let yourself be astray from him. So,
Jesus' name.
Grace and peace unto y'all. Much love. May we have the heart as the Lord, that we can be bright as the stars.
Jesus.
With that, I close.
Amen. All praise to the Most High God of Israel for his wisdom and his knowledge and understanding, and for even giving us this conversation that we could see things that's in him that's just too far great for us to conceive that it's by man. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, brothers and sisters, please read your Bibles. Time appointed. God willing, we live. We'll be back here same time, same Bible study channel. I was going to say bad channel. Same Bible study channel. You was waiting on it, but I fixed it. So that's tomorrow evening. God willing, we live. We want to be here again that hour. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, please read your Bibles. Shalom, shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Grace and peace to the family. Love you, bro. Great lesson. Have a blessed evening, day.
Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. From Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.